Well, before we move into the Christmas season, I want to just talk one more week a little bit about this idea of what it means for us to become a little bit more free from that which grabs a hold of us, and that is this emotion called anger. I mentioned I've been reading the book called Unoffendable by Brant Hansen. Now read it a couple times, and it's really, really good. There's a story that Brant tells about his son. His son, when he was a little boy, his name is Justice. And, you know, anyone, any parent in the house can have stories to tell about their kids, about some of the things that just kind of captured their kids' imagination. I know when Lori and I were raising our oldest son, Andy, I don't know what it was. He couldn't even really talk yet, but there was something about lawnmowers that just fascinated him. I thought he was going to become a gardener. He couldn't even say the word lawnmower. He said nanyo. That was his word for lawnmower. And whenever he would see someone mowing their lawn, he would get excited. We'd be in the car. He would even see someone's garage door open, and he would see a lawnmower in the garage. And he would see, from his baby car seat, he would yell, nanyo, nanyo. And it's like, yeah, you know, everyone's got a lawnmower. It's like it's not a big deal. But for some reason, it just captured him. He was just all into the nanyo. Well, reading the story, I kind of resonated with me, because reading the story that Brant's telling, a story about his son, Justice, his son wasn't engaged by lawnmowers. His son, at this kind of pre-speaking age, so you know how big that is, he was smitten, he says, completely smitten with garbage. We could go around the room and we could find out all kinds of weird things that our kids liked when they were little. We can't explain it, but it's just what it is. He says, he loved trash. He would excitedly point out dumpsters whenever we were driving about. Trash, that's it. Nothing else. They even got him a video, it says. A full hour of trucks moving garbage about the dump in big piles. And he was mesmerized. No plot, no dialogue, just a lot of beeping from trucks backing up. Who knew there was a market for this? Then he says that we had these hardwood floors at our home at the time, and I remember my wife and I were in the living room when we heard this dragging sound, and there was Justice beaming, dragging a bag of trash into the room. He just loved his garbage. It was so inspiring. And it dawned on me, he says, that I could have gone up to him, and I could have stood in front of him and offered him a crisp $100 bill, and said, here you go. This is way more valuable than that bag of trash. All you have to do is give me the trash and you can have this $100. But Brant knew that his son wouldn't have taken that. There was something far more valuable in that child's mind, even though his dad said, it's not worth it. The child was going to hold on to his prize, his bag of trash. And then he says, you know what? Aren't we all just like him? Holding on to something that we really shouldn't hold on to. Thinking that this is going to be my ticket to control. That somehow thinking that by my holding on to that anger, that hurt, that grudge, that somehow puts me in the driver's seat. Not recognizing that it is holding me. Not recognizing that there is something far more valuable right in front of me if I would only be able to let it go. But we don't know how to let it go. In fact, we don't really want to let it go. We live in a world that is so steeped in anger, don't we? And it should become kind of normal. It's normal for us as humans to think that anger is our birthright. And you watch it on, you know, I mean, politicians play this game, don't they? They play this game of talking to their base and stirring them up, making them angry at the others, because by doing that, it gives them political power. You know, media outlets do this, don't they? They try to stir us up because they know if they get us angry enough, we will continue watching. We'll continue coming back for even more and more. Even churches have fallen into this trap. I'll be honest with you. I've heard and seen how many churches, and oftentimes they're able to grow for a while because they continue to express their anger and their disdain for the world around them and how bad the world is. and how angry they are, all those people who do all those bad things. And by always preaching about them and how angry we should be about them, people like that. It makes us feel justified when we can come and sit with others who think like we do, and we can all be angry together about those people out there. But Jesus never said that we are to be angry with your neighbor. Jesus never said we are to allow our anger to flash at our neighbor. Jesus never said we are to hold a grudge against our neighbor. Jesus never said we are to plot our revenge against our neighbor. What did Jesus say? Yeah, we are to love our neighbor. Oh, darn it, when the Bible comes and confronts us and says, what I'm doing, what I'm comfortable in, is not where God would have me be. And again, I want to be clear that I'm going to talk about something in just a moment that is going to maybe feel like it's kind of condemning, that because I do that, I'm somehow a loser. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying there's a better way. It's like Brant Hansen standing in front of his son saying, here's a $100 bill. Isn't this better than that bag of trash? You and me would take that in a moment. But sometimes we are unable to see for what it is. The verse today I want to talk about, the idea of slowing our roll, instead of moving so quick into flashing with anger, that there is something that we need to begin letting go of. It's not just letting go of the offense of those who have hurt me, but even letting go of the right to be offended. This is where, and this is hard for us, because we feel justified in that right, and yet Jesus invites us to something better. In the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's hard, isn't it? We all know people who struggle with listening. Maybe it's me. We all know people who are quick to judge and quick to state their opinion. Maybe that's me. And we all know people who flash with anger at a moment's notice, because oftentimes we're living in this stewing brew of anger that's just right below the surface. So any little thing, someone looks at you funny, someone cuts you off in line, whatever it might be, that just causes us to, boom, we're back into that role of anger again. We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You see, again, he's painting a picture of there being two different paths to take here. There is a path which is going to lead to a righteousness that God desires, and there's this other path which is called anger. And it's going to take us down a completely other path. Now, sometimes we hear the word should. I know this is just natural for all of us. Whether we hear someone said what we should do, or oftentimes it's what we think we should do. And that word should becomes really condemning for us. Maybe you do this to yourself. And I've told people, you know, don't should on yourself. Just don't do it. Because you do that, yeah, should. Okay, Tim. I just said that just to make sure you were listening. Woo! But don't should on yourself, because when we do should on ourselves, what we do, I'm going to stop saying that because you never know. Because instead of leading us to getting better, when we say that, I should have done this, but I didn't. So that equates to I'm a loser. Or I shouldn't do that, but I continue to, which means I'm kind of a loser. And so we get into that stuff where we say, I should have, and it just kind of makes me feel like I'm beaten up and wrong. When the Bible says that this is what we should do, it's not saying you're beaten up because you're wrong. It is saying there's a better way. There's a goal for you to strive for. There's something for you to seek to attain. There is something that is better than that bag of trash you're carrying. Would you let it go and move this direction instead? And it's this direction of saying, no longer living in this control of the anger of this broken world around me that will continually disappoint me, but not letting it have that control over me. This becomes the point, this better path. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to go to this in Matthew 11. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary. And some of us are weary, you don't even know why. Maybe it's because we're constantly burning with this simmering anger right below the surface, this simmering discontent right below the surface, and we're always feeling we're having to be on watch. We have to have our head on a swivel, watching out for who's going to maybe come and strike us and hurt us and do something, and so we're always on guard. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, I don't have it on the screen, but he went on to say this. He went on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If we take the Jesus path, if we take the Jesus yoke, if we take this way that Jesus is offering, this way of the gentle, humble heart, there we will begin to find rest. Which leads me again to this week. As we take this Jesus path and we say, we're going to take a break, we're going to just slow it down, we're going to begin to take time to consider what God has done. All the songs today have been all about that, if you noticed, you know, the sense of God's amazing grace for us, the sense of living in the midst of, in the awareness of the goodness of God, and how that can then lead us to giving thanks for what he has done for us, but also giving thanks for what he will do for us, because his consistent character will continue to be good to us. Hansen again says that gratitude and anger cannot coexist, which leads us to this week. When we talk about Thanksgiving Day and we talk about being thankful to God, there is something inside of us that our heart is just not wired to have both of these going on at the same time. It is one or it is the other. And when we feel stuck in that burn of anger, when we need to begin to develop a practice, a different habit, an antidote to that anger, and I'm going to suggest to you that what the Bible says is that that antidote is a grateful heart. It is being thankful. And so in 1 Thessalonians 5, this is my key piece here for us today, that as we move into Thanksgiving, I want to challenge us to begin to become a people of a new habit, become people who are bent on thankfulness, not just once a year, but all the time. It says in verse 16, rejoice always. In verse 17, it says, pray continually. And in verse 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a profound verse. In all circumstances, not all circumstances are going to make us happy. Not all circumstances are going to make us feel comfortable. Not all circumstances in life are what we desire, and yet we are invited to give thanks in the midst of all those circumstances. Why? Because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That we have been made, we've been wired to be in this place of finding our hope and our rest and our contentment as we express that thanks for what God has done. Thankfulness is going to develop in us something completely other than our normality, because we are recognizing that we are existing because of God's care, that we are loved because of God's heart for us, that we have hope, not because of anything we can do or we can accomplish, but because of what Christ has already done for us. And he continues to be faithful, good, reveal that to us over and over, and we tend to get distracted and confused and looking every other which way. But as we give thanks, we recognize that it begins to recognize that it is God who has done all that we have done, not we ourselves. Anger doesn't develop humility. No, anger puts us in the center of our attention. Anger brings all the attention onto us, what we want, what we need, what we're not getting, what someone has done to us. And so as we walk that out, we have the two paths to walk, one of which is going to be waiting, one of which is going to be humble, and one that is going to be aware of the goodness of God, and one that will say, but I need to get mine. So as we talk about Thanksgiving this week, I would just say, I hope you all have a chance to be with those whom you love on this Thanksgiving day. And that's an important thing. I hope you guys all eat to your heart's content on this Thanksgiving day. I hope you watch more football than you've watched all season on this Thanksgiving day. But beyond any of that, I hope that you will take stock in the goodness of God and recognize that we are surrounded by that, living in an awareness of God's goodness for us that enables us to be thankful day to day, so that instead of falling into that trap of what we don't have, we would begin to focus first, whether it be getting up in the morning with your first thought being a thankful thought, whether it be closing your day with a thankful thought, whether it be sitting at the table with your family and offering reasons why you are thankful. You know, while I was away, I got a message on Facebook that Nina Martinez had been struck by an automobile. So when I called, family, see what had happened, I was so encouraged talking to Juan that he was able to give thanks that, one, she was okay, and she was in the hospital. But as I remember Juan telling me the story, it was like, Nina said before she stepped out or as she stepped into the road, something in her checked her and she didn't take that next step. If she had, she would have been struck head on by the car. When she was struck, and she doesn't know how or why, but she just, her body just fell in the way that protected her. You could explain that by her athletic training or what have you, or just the Holy Spirit being at work in the midst of what could have been a tragedy. And the very next car in line, because it was on our way to school, lines of cars, lines of kids, the very next car in line saw what happened, stopped, and that person was a believer. Maybe a member of our church. What are the odds? And that person is able to give care, get her where she needs to go, get this started in a way that lets Nina know, even in the midst of this confusion of all that's going on, this world about ready to come undone, that God was at work at each and every step. And in less than a day, this was the amazing part for me. Not only that God is good, that doesn't amaze me anymore. I know God is good, but sometimes I tend to overlook it. But that Juan was able to see that in less than 24 hours and see in the midst of the tragedy what God was already doing to just provide what they needed in the midst of that scary, scary time. I didn't plan on telling that story today. If I would, I would have asked you if it's okay. So now instead, I ask for your forgiveness for bringing this up. But what an example that in the midst of what feels like a crisis, what feels like a tragedy that's erupting upon us, to be able to note and see the hand of God and the goodness of God surrounding us. She just calls us always to just stay in that place of being thankful that we have a God who looks out for us in ways like that. So that's our invite. That's our invite, is just to live in that awareness, to live in the awareness of God's goodness, but also develop that habit of saying, I'm going to look for the reasons to be thankful because it is God's will for me to be thankful in all circumstances. Some of them will be hard, but that's His invitation. So, Father, we thank You for that invitation, but even more, we thank You for Your presence to help us as we seek to rest in You and rely on You in ways that we have maybe not done before. For often it feels like it beats us down, that all circumstances is a difficult word for us because sometimes we feel that we are right to be justified in our hurts, in our angers, in our holding on to it. But God, we thank you for the invitation to your freedom that comes because of your goodness to us. So just deepen our heart for you this week. Deepen our heart for our awareness of your goodness, and allow us to express our thanks in new and genuine ways. In Jesus' name, amen.